Dana sing that song, He Knows My Name. I have a maker, and he formed my heart, and before even time began, my life was in his hand. And he knows my name, and he knows my every thought, and he sees each tear that falls, and he hears me when I call. I have a maker. I have a maker, and he formed my heart, and before even time began, my life was in his hand, and he knows.
I believe in you.
And we do have a couple announcements this evening. One announcement is there, we're going out with that kids' night. That's been postponed for a while. It'll be this Friday at 7. Brother Bart says it's going to last about an hour, hour and a half max. So Friday, 7, here at church. And then for Sunday school age kids. Amen. As most of us know, our sister Karen's husband passed away this Tuesday, right? We're going to have the info posted on back as far as the showing the funeral, but just so you, just a quick little reminder right now, if you don't know already, the viewing will be Monday down the line at Jones and Clark Funeral Home from 6 to 8. Just viewing for one night that evening, and then the funeral service will be the Tuesday following service at Bible Believers at 11 a.m. The funeral procession following. And then, all that will be posted in back for those who are interested. So all hearts are clear there. There were no prayer requests or testimonies turned in. I'm not sure we all have spoken prayer requests, like make notes to the Lord, find a prayer stand. And that's for Brother Simon, should be the order of prayer. Also, the tithes.
Want to say something? Got to see Brother Bill there before he went and everything. Just reminder in your hearts and reminder in your minds. All election. Everything is election. And by the grace of God, we're all chosen here to be the bride of Christ, to make this rapture. Seeing how things, I mean, I've always believed in election, and we know Prophet majored on it there after the seals, and but just amazing to see something like this happen, see how election really is more powerful than anything. So, anyhow, let's just bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, Lord, we just come humble before you, God, Lord, and Lord, we lost a brother here, Lord, in the natural, Lord, but Lord, I'm just overjoyed, God, Lord, that you saved him there, Lord, in the last remaining days, God, Lord. Lord, we've seen a dream and then two dreams, actually, Lord, a week apart, God, Lord, and how, Lord, within that week, God, Lord, you saved our brother here, God, Lord, and Lord, now he's, Lord, sitting, Lord, in heavenly places, God, with the saints that have gone on before, God, Lord, and Lord Jesus, just amazing, Lord, to see how you worked that whole thing, God, Lord, and just really awesome, Lord, how you, Sister Karen, God, Lord, and she recorded every single event, God, everything you spoke to her, God, and all these things, Lord, just wraps up, Lord, and just shows, God, Lord, the power of election, God, Lord, and Lord Jesus, it's just amazing, God, Lord, you said, Lord, you wouldn't lose one, God, Lord, that was yours, God, Lord, and many men and women have striven, God, and strive, Lord, for years, God, to be Christians, God, and many won't make it, God, Lord. And, Lord, there's some, Lord, that will wait up to their deathbed, God, Lord, and you would save them, God. And, Lord Jesus, Lord, we appreciate that, God. And, Lord, seeing your sovereignty, your grace, God, your mercy, Lord, sins, Lord, were deceived in God, sins we do knowingly, Lord, and how you overlook all those things, God, because they were found in you before the foundations of the world, God. And Lord, just never seen it like this, God, Lord, just in my own life and with friends there, Lord, and spiritual brothers and sisters, God, just amazing, God. And Lord, we just love you, Lord. Just have your way tonight at service, God. And Lord, we just rejoice, God, Lord. You called us to this message, God, Lord, and you've opened our eyes and our ears to hear this message, God. You chose us to hear this, God. And Lord, we praise you, God, and we thank you, God, for that, Lord. Just bless the service, Lord, and bless the tithes and offerings, Lord. For everyone that showed up, God, Lord, we pray you place a special blessing in their hearts, God, Lord. Something that the devil cannot touch, God. A little revelation, God, Lord. Some way go out here tonight, Lord, and they can say that God showed them that they were seed of God. Lord Jesus, God, that's a revelation that no one can take, God. Lord, we just love you, Lord. Bless everyone here, God, and for those that can't and weren't able to make it, Lord, take care of them, Lord. We ask all these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. We're blessed people, saints. We could be not at church right now, or we could be at the church on the road. You know, God put us here. Amen. So, amen. Let's sing that song. God is good. And God is good all the time. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. In the darkest night, His light will shine. God is good. God is good.
Jesus, you're my saving God. I thank you for your amazing grace that you lead me every step to take my journey home. This world was just a vanity. We are only journey through. Lord, keep my eyes on you, that I won't go astray. Help me not build other gods, but grant me to be true to you, that my love grows day by day, my soul rejoices in you. Thank you, Lord, for Calvary, and thank you for opening the seals that our eyes be open and know who am I. Thou shalt never be afraid, because you said, be strong and courage, that you, the only God, the only living God. Lord, I just want to thank you. Help me to walk with you, just like Enoch has done, just walk away with you. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I rest my soul with you.
Amen. Let's stand and sing that song, Let the Death Angel Pass. Amen. Let the death angel pass, God's bride saved at last, by the token he
Come, Holy Spirit. Thank you.
God. Amen. We're just going to sing a little song by the grace of God, and then we'll get right into the word this evening. Amen. I sing that song. I have it on my heart this evening to sing it. It's The Wings of a Dove. Amen. Noah had drifted on the floods many days. He searched for land, oh, in various ways. Troubles he had some, but not from above. God gave us his sign on the wings of a dove. Hallelujah. Oh, on the wings of a snow-white dove, God sends his pure, sweet love, a sign from above, on the wings of a dove. Amen. Jesus, our Savior, came to earth one day. Oh, he was born in a stable, oh, in a manger of hay. Hallelujah. And though he rejected, but not from above, God gave us his sign on the wings of a dove. Hallelujah. Oh, on the wings of a snow-white dove, God sends his pure, sweet love, a sign from above, on the wings of a dove. Hallelujah. Though I have suffered in many a way, oh, I died for healing, oh, both night and day. Hallelujah. Oh, faith wasn't forgotten, oh, by the Father above. Oh, God gave us his sign, oh, on the wings of a dove. Oh, on the wings of a snow-white dove, God sends his pure, sweet love, a sign from above. Oh, on the wings of a dove, though I have suffered, though I have suffered in many a way, I cried for healing, both night and day. Oh my, I like this. Oh, faith wasn't forgotten, oh, by the Father above. God gave me his sign, oh, on the wings of a dove, on the wings of a dove, on the wings of a snow-white dove. God sends his pure, sweet love, a sign from above, oh, on the wings of a dove. One more time. Oh, on the wings of a snow-white dove, God sends his pure, sweet love, a sign from above. Oh, on the wings of a dove. Amen. 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 Let's stand for the reading of the word. Our best to close
at least with the New Testament Smyrna this evening. Amen. Jump into the Word here. I was kind of actually interested when I began to read these things even more and more. And I found out, by the grace of God, when you look at the Church Age book itself, it almost appears like Smyrna has almost as much, if not more, than every other church age. Amen. And some of the things that are brought out within that age itself are just some very profound things. And like I said, well, we'd like to close on this evening on a message entitled The Smyrnan Overcomer. Amen. We'd like to continue that with the thought or the topic of He That Hath an Ear. Amen. Like I said, I'm actually kind of... It's kind of interesting to me, when I thought it was over, there's still about 30 pages left in the chapter. So by the grace of God, we just want to go through this very simply and very clearly. But we do want to turn within our Bibles to Revelations 2:11. I'll actually be preaching this in the order that it was coming out within there. Revelations 2:11. It says here in the 11th verse, it says, He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Amen. Let's go next to John 10:27. John 10:27. So in John 10:27, it says, My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Amen. Who do they follow? They follow a pastor. They follow this guy or that guy. They follow him. Amen. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our most beloved Lord Jesus Christ, God, here we are, a needy people, God. We need you more than we needed you yesterday, God. Lord, as we realize, God, that now more than ever, God, we see Satan fighting, God, things being laws and times changed, oh God, just like we see in the book of Daniel, Lord. And God, we know that the time is short, God, and there's coming a time very quickly, not even far from here, God, where the Scripture would say that it was a time of trouble as such was never before, God. And Lord, we just want to be partakers, O God, in, O God, the substance of revival in that season, God. Lord, we want to be the church that takes a body change at that time, God. And Lord, we just want to be ready, Lord God, at every moment, Lord, at every wink of an eye, God, Lord, we realize it could be that simple with you, Lord. You said, oh God, in the twinkling of an eye, God. And Lord, we want to be ready, Lord. God, help us, Lord. You know, God, that we need you more than what we have now, God. We need more of a moving of the Spirit. We need more of an individual relationship with you on every individual. Here, I believe it's a truth, God. And Lord, I just ask, God, you'd reveal your word, Lord. We've done our best to stay on this word. To every T cross, God, to every I dotted, Lord. God, we just want to, oh God, live in the Word of God. Help us, God, tonight, Lord, as we take on this topic, Lord God. We just need your help, Lord. We just pray, just have your way, God. And if there's a needy person in the church, oh God, even now, I pray you give them, oh God, their heart's desire, Lord. You see those who aren't here, oh God, you see maybe the devil's pulled the wool over their eyes, God, or just maybe they just don't have you like they should have you, even in the fact they might not have enough to get to church, God. We just pray you'd anoint them, God. Give them strength, oh God. Oh God, help them, God. We're not casting out, God. We're literally, Lord, we're just asking, God, that there'd be a grace, God. A God, the same grace that found us, oh God. We want that grace to find them, God. We know that there's times and seasons for every individual, God. And we just pray, Lord, you'd certainly, Lord, just move on the behalf of your bride, God. We want bride, God. That's what we're interested in, God. We're not interested in people that hold a message cloak or this or that, God. We want the bride, God, because we believe we are the bride, God. Lord, we want a church in one accord, Lord. We need the bride, Lord Jesus. We just pray it, God, now that you'd have your way, Lord, sufficiently, O God. Give us what we have need of this evening, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, the bride said together, amen. You may be seated. Amen. Got a very simple message this evening. Just want to touch a few things here. And we've spent quite a bit of time talking about the voice of God. And this evening we want to finish this church age and talk a little bit about the overcomer and actually bring out a few things that the prophet of God actually said about these things and the scripture overwhelmingly goes into. But we want to just bring, perhaps, like I said, the topic this evening. Of course, we have the Smyrna Overcomer, but we'd like to maybe give it the topic, because this is what we'll spend most of our time on, is he that hath an ear. Amen. So we want to get into this evening, and just as the time is upon us, we want to enjoy ourselves in the Word of God. Amen. How many love the Word of God? Amen. Well, if you love the Word of God, that certainly means that there's a person behind that Word that you're after. Amen. May God give us strength to find that person, right? So let's open up our Bibles to Revelations 2:11 as we begin to jump into this. I'm going to start with the end, and I'm going to move right back to the beginning to finish that off, just so we can touch a few things here. I want to finish off Smyrna and then get into an overview over all the church ages on what he that hath an ear hath to say here. Now in Revelations 2:11 it says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death." Amen. So in going through all of what Smyrna was, we understand that what was Smyrna. Now let me ask you just a quick convicting question. If you don't want to raise your hand, that's fine. But how many have been reading the Church Age book? Praise God. All right. Tell you what, that's loud and proud right there, brother. Amen. God give you strength to finish that book. Amen. Good to be with family in the household of God, isn't it? My brothers, my sisters. Amen. But anyway, in moving on to this evening, we certainly want to continue. And like I said, I find it perplexing a lot of times that I even get away from the church ages. There's so much in here, and it covers such a wide variety of topics within the scriptures that you can literally just preach. I could probably preach to the coming of the Lord about this if I wanted to, if I'd certainly just really delve into it. But we must want to spend the time adequate there to follow the Lord's leading. Amen. Because if you believe that the Holy Ghost is leader and Lord of this church, then you certainly believe that God has a prepared word for you at all times and all seasons. Amen. There's something He really wants you to hear. Amen. So by the grace of God, we want to touch this as we just seen. He said, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death." Amen. So we're realizing here that God now, remember what He said to Ephesus. He said that he that overcometh, you'll partake of the tree of life, right? And here we see now He's coming into Smyrna, and He promises Christ, these are the red letters in the book, that He's actually promising them that they shall not be hurt of the second death. Amen. So let us look at the second death very quickly, what this is. And remember very quickly, the overcomer of Laodicea receives the reward of every other church age, right? So if you overcome Laodicea, you don't have to worry about the second death. Well, what is the second death? Let's get into that in Revelations 20, verse 5. Got a lot of scriptures to go through this evening, a few quotes. We'll see how we can finish this off. In Revelations 20, verse 5, it says, "But the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years were finished." Hallelujah. It's talking about the millennium. We're all planning to be there. This is the first resurrection. Okay? Now, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. So if we become raptured, if those who went before us are raptured, we have a fact that they have received the first resurrection. Amen. And because they received the first resurrection, the second death has no power over them. Amen. So realizing that when it comes down to the second death, that we don't have that issue. When it comes down to the great white throne judgment, that we understand that we are not going to be judged there on sin because we have already passed and been resurrected. Amen. Pray, amen. We've took on the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that resurrection life. And because we've took that resurrection life, we are sinless. So what can be brought against you at the white throne judgment? I say nothing. Amen. Doesn't matter how bad you think that sin is, if you've got the blood of Jesus Christ covering you, there's nothing that can touch you, right? So notice here he says, on such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Amen? Sounds good. Now these are things that are coming your way. Sounds pretty good. A millennial reign with Jesus Christ for 1,000 years. We've preached actually quite a bit about that millennium. If you've paid attention or remembered, or maybe you'll say, maybe I need to remember and go back and get a tape. You never know. But if you desire to hear those things, that's where we're going, a millennial reign. Amen. With Christ, who will rule with a rod of iron. Now, notice in the last, let's go again to Revelation 20, verse 14. And it says here, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. So what is the second death now? The second death is not death. Not the first death. The first death is what happens when you die here. While time is in existence, you will find yourself dying. That is the first death. But yet there is a second death which actually goes to prove what that there is no such thing as an eternal hell because it is a death and death is an ending, right? So notice what we have here. Notice it says death and hell. So you don't have to worry about going to hell. Amen. You have to worry about something far worse than hell. It's called the lake of fire, and it's such, it is so wicked and so evil, we cannot even explain how wicked it is. But we know that it's worse than hell because hell is cast into it, right? And we understand that hell is a place not of judgment, but it is a temporary place for people to go to right before they stand judgment. And when they stand judgment, they'll be cast into the lake of fire, right? But notice here, and very quickly here, it says in the 15th verse, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So now we find something conjoining that. We see that those who do not have their names written on the book of life, which was what? Which was written before the foundation of the world, you do not have eternal life, okay? I'm going to try not to be too monotonous with my voice here. So maybe I'll try to get excited. We'll see. I'll just let the Holy Ghost do what he wants. You want a teacher tonight? What do you want? Depends how much you want to pull. You start getting a little excited, you might make me excited. All right. So notice, those who do not have their names written on the book of life, they will be partakers of the second death going into the lake of fire. But lastly, for this little section here, Revelations 21:8. It gives us a little bit more knowledge about these people who do not have their names written on the book. I don't have another quote. There's another quote, of course, that we see. But your prophet actually says, those who were not good to the brethren were cast into the lake of fire. Amen. Now, Revelation 21, verse 8, it says, but the fearful, how many have fear in here? The unbelieving, how many don't have perfect faith here. The abominable. How many commits abominations? Pride is an abomination. If you don't think that's something God hates, you better wake up. Murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, amen, witchcraft and so forth, killers, idolaters. Uh-oh, I don't want anything above God. Not one thing can be above God and His Word, amen. And all liars, shall have their part in the lake of fire, which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So now we see a wide variety of people going into there, and they're all sinners. But like I said, thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Because the blood of Jesus Christ, it spares us from this punishment, right? And if it spares us from this punishment, how happy ought we to be now? Because what you have to understand is that to be there with God on that day, the revelation must strike now at the coming of the Lord that you don't have any sin to begin with, right? We know the Bible says, it says, now are ye the sons of God. And we understand that the only thing the Holy Ghost does is quicken to you that you were a son of God. Because if you were in the mind of God, if you were part of God, then you have the seed of God. And that means you are an unrecognized son to your own usage, right? You did not know you were a son. You did not know you come from God. But when the baptism of the Holy Ghost strikes you, you cannot get away from the Word of God. Amen. It says you are a child of the King. Oh yes, oh yes, I'm a child of the King. His royal blood now flows through my veins. Amen. I want that kind of a blood. Amen. Oh God, let that token life be on me. Praise God. But now we want to jump into this just a little bit because I want you to see a few things here with the overcoming. I want to start out with a quotation if we could. I want to go to, Smyrna Church Age 123, brother, 1960. This is actually kind of interesting to me here. It says, now the 11th verse is a promise. Now, we'll have this just before closing. It says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Now notice here on the inspiration of God. Now I've got to say something here that in order, if I think in my heart and don't say it, then I'm a hypocrite. I want to be that set aside that I know that my heart is right, so that I can say with assurance that God is speaking through me, and I would be a hypocrite if I didn't say what was going in my heart. That's not just for a preacher. That's not just for someone who's just an evangelist or something like that. But every single individual with the Holy Ghost must know that God speaks through them. Amen. And you are under obligation to know what the voice of God is trying to say. Amen. When He says speak, you speak. Doesn't that make you want to take life a little more serious? If you have the mind of Christ, if you have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you have the mind of Christ. Because Christ is in you. Now, if you had the mind of Christ, wouldn't you want Christ to speak? So what are you doing if you don't know Christ is trying to speak? And if you don't say it, you're a hypocrite. Now notice this. He comes out. He says, okay, if I don't say it, I'm a hypocrite. See, I want you to notice something here in this scripture. Now notice this. And I think it was one of the biggest puzzles to me for so long until I found out. Within this scripture, Now, let's read that real close now. He that has an ear, in other words, has a ear to hear, see, that's open to the Spirit. This is a puzzle. It's still a puzzle to us. Is God speaking to me or is God not? Am I hearing from God or am I not hearing from God? And if God is talking to me, I need to obey that voice. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter if Billy Graham says that or Oral Roberts or Brother Branham, but what matters is that that is the gospel truth. Hallelujah. Now notice, he said, that's open to the Spirit. Let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now see, this same thing, this persecution and everything comes. Every part of it laps over in every church, the churches. The Spirit says to the churches, he that overcometh. In what church? Ephesian? Yeah. All right. Smyrna? Yeah. All of them. He that overcomes in all the churches shall not be hurt of the second death. All the churches? Wow. Notice this. This is good. He in the Laodicean church that overcomes what? Now, did you just hear what he said? He said there's a lap over.
Right.
Which is what we've shown. The horse riders for Satan lay lap over. But now we see the Spirit of God laps over too. So that is why the church ages are especially important to apply. Because there's a lap over that you have to do what Ephesus did. You have to do what Smyrna did, what Pergamos, Sardis, Philadelphia. You have to move through all of them. Now, check this out. Overcomes. Now notice, he in the Laodicean church that overcomes what? Overcomes the Nicolaitans. Wait a minute, I thought that was in the first church age. Still here. Overcomes the things of the world. Oh, hallelujah. Do you have to mortify the deeds of the flesh? Now, overcomes these denominations. Overcomes these priesthoods. Overcomes everything of the world and sells out and loves Christ. He'll not be heard of the second death. Why? He's got eternal life. So notice here, the biggest puzzle that the prophet had talked about till here was the very fact that there was a lap over and you had to hear what the Spirit was saying. You have to hear that the Spirit tonight wants you to be concerned with this word. You have to hear what God wants you to hear. And in hearing that, you'll have to overcome a piece of every other church age. And what makes it tough is you got to overcome all the things of the world that's coming out right now. Right? Laws are getting passed. Are you ready, church? Are you willing to say that I don't believe in homosexuality? The Bible says very clearly. Are you willing to say that you don't believe in killing babies? Now, that's what the denominations are stuck on. But are you willing to say that I won't go into that system? Are you willing to say, God, I know I've got the Holy Ghost, and if I have to be the only one to stand all by myself, God, I will stand. I believe this word. If they are a denomination, they are going in. I don't care what denomination they are. I don't care if they're Mormon or whatever, because you have to understand that if they've taken the denominational mark, they are already going in. The only chance is individuals coming out on that. That's assemblies. That's Pentecostals. Apostolics? Yep, apostolics too. That's what the scripture says. Somebody's got all nicest people you ever meet. But the truth is still the truth. They'll form a system. Revelations 13. All right. Now, so notice how we're going here. Where is the puzzle at? Why is this important? I have to hear everything that the Spirit says. Now, why does this become critical? Let's move in our Bibles very quickly, if we could. Let me find a scripture I want to go to. Matthew 16, 17. I love this portion of scripture. The keys given to Peter. Just want to read that 17th verse. It says here, and Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Here's what we're touching tonight. Notice when we begin every church age, it says, he said, first, he said, the Spirit is talking to the angel. Christ comes to the angel and delivers the message for the church to hear. Amen? Now, but notice what happens at the end of every passage to every church ages. He says, He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. So the message is given individually to the messenger. The messenger carries that message to deliver it to the people. And those that go to the messenger and hear the word from the messenger overcome. Only if they follow what the messenger says. Not half of it, not a quarter of it, not three quarters. We need to follow everything the prophet said. They need to follow everything the reformer said. But here is the key. Know this, that it must come down, that you have to have a revelation, that your thoughts have nothing to do with this. Which is why before you even chase revelation, you need to see that you are in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But I love the word. That don't mean a thing. There's an intellectual conception of that word that can strike any individual. You don't think there's serpent seed up in this message? They know a lot better than you, a lot of them. But this is what I want you to see. But when he comes on your level like he come to Peter, when the Word Himself calls your name, reveals what? The seven seals reveals the church ages. No, reveals you have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And then when you find yourself, what? In a move of the Spirit, in so much the fact is that you know that God is in your mind. You have to understand that. It has to be a revelation. Amen. Just because you know something does not mean it's a revelation. Right. How many know that God is a divine healer? Amen. You want me to trap you? How many have a weakness tonight? How many believe that God, how many could say right now, I'll stand by faith right now. I know God will reveal it to me. I'll be healed of every disease I ever had. You see, there's a knowledge. We all say, yeah, but when it push comes to shove, we say, oh, well, you see, I kind of like getting babied over my injuries or my complexes or whatever it is. But you sit there and you like the attention that it gives you. And your prophet said that all you're doing is petting the devil. So when you are sitting in a lifestyle that is not free from sin, that is not free from oppression, from spirits, from physical, physical ailments, you find yourself petting the devil. You know the only type of wound I want? You know the physical ailment I want? The only physical ailment I want is the one that God puts right on me. God knocked me off a horse. You don't think I got problems in my body too? I'm fighting just as well as you are. But I know what I want. I am craving freedom. Because I know that this book is a revelation. And I don't have the fullness of the revelation. But God revealed the baptism of the Holy Ghost in the full manifestation of what it is. And it comes right down then, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith. That simple? You've been mistaught. You think it depends upon a revelation instead of understanding that it must come to the place you know you have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. If you've got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, why are you letting the devil beat you up like you are? Did you see Jesus Christ letting the devil beat him up all the time? It didn't say when Jesus was betrayed by Judas that it was easy to catch him because he was walking on crutches. Found Arthur, you know, Scripture said he's almost like a 50-year-old man. You know, he had arthritis. I bet he had high blood pressure too. What about Paul? Wasn't nothing wrong with Paul. God had to put something on Paul to keep him humble. I want God to put something on me to keep me humble. But the problem is, I got to get rid of all that rest of that filth. Notice what Paul said. He said, God sent an angel or a demon, what, to buffet his flesh? Because of the abundance of the revelations. What was the reason why he needed something like that? Not because knowledge. He didn't call it knowledge. He didn't say because of my knowledge of the word. He said the abundance of revelation. Why? Because God come in the demonstration of the Holy Ghost. He didn't want enticing words, a speech. He wanted God to live. We've got to want God to live. Hallelujah. What's the problem? He that hath an ear. What is the message for your day? What is this message to draw you into? Oh, it's just some good stuff in the church ages. What are you interested in? Are you interested in the knowledge or in the revelation? Because when it's a revelation, it sets you free. If we conquered Ephesus already with the preaching of this word, faith should be overwhelming. Ephesus was the faith age. We just covered Smyrna. We should be able to handle bitterness up to death. It's this simple. It comes down, the biggest puzzle, God. Let me have the revelation, God. to hear what the Spirit says. If there's a lap over God, I want to overcome every single demon from every age. Amen. I'm not interested in just fighting a white horse rider. I'm not just interested in fighting a red horse rider or a black one. I want the pale horse. I was made to overcome the pale horse. You know you're lacking persecution. Don't worry, it's coming. You're going to have to overcome that. You're going to have to overcome persecution. You don't think God's going to make you stand when He Himself had to stand, when the apostles had to stand? You are made to stand, but you are not made to stand like this. You are made to have the revelation of the Holy Ghost strike. Do you understand what I'm saying when I say that? You were made. We say baptism of the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. What is the Holy Ghost? It is the person of Jesus Christ revealed personally to you.
Amen.
The person in me. The person I hear. The person that tells me what to do. Real leadership. God, I found out I'm not a good leader. God, I found out I'm not a good follower. God, I found out I'm not doing good at anything. You know what? You're a candidate for the Holy Ghost. Because you know what? The Holy Ghost is a good leader. The Holy Ghost is a good follower. The Holy Ghost is a good counselor. He's what you need. He that hath an ear for what? God did send a prophet in this day. Just like God sent Martin Luther, God sent John Wesley, God sent Martin Columba, the Apostle Paul. I believe. In the supernatural.
Amen.
I believe God sent William Branham. Not that I worship him. Why would I do that? I got enough things I worship in this world. I got to get rid of all them. Why do I need to worship Brother Branham too? I don't.
Amen.
But I'm sure glad that I have a revealed word in this day.
Amen.
Amen. Stories are nice, but it's all about the Word. It must come down to the fact that the voice of the Word speaks in you. Well, what do you think it is when you become the Word? Do you realize when you become the Word should be at the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Because that's given to you to set you in service. Oh, we should be busy, shouldn't we? Wait a minute. You say you got the Holy Ghost and you're not in service? You say you've got the Holy Ghost and he lets you sit around and do nothing all day or do that and there's never anything given to him? Sounds like when you want to overcome Laodicea, oh Lord Jesus. When you want to overcome Laodicea, you've got a lot you're packing, church. You have to pack every one of them stinking devils from every age out. Say, devil, there's no residence here. Wouldn't that's what the Holy Ghost tells you, right? Wouldn't the Holy Ghost tell you that? Ooh, I got that oppression. Holy Ghost says, yeah, I think I'll live with him for a while. So, oh, yeah, I've got these bitter feelings. Holy Ghost says, yeah, me and bitterness, we hang out a lot, you know. We'll just dwell together. Oh, I got this physical ailment. Holy Ghost says, yeah, I'm used to living with physical ailments. Perversion in me, yeah, we go pretty good, you know. Oh, pride, you know, I hate it, but yeah, it's all right if it sticks around. You are made to be a totally delivered Christian.
Amen.
Nothing in the way of God. Not one thing.
Amen. Amen.
That house. How many of you people living the way you do? You say, okay. I want this sin in my house. I want that sin in my house. I want that sin in my house. Come on. If you're a Christian, you say, okay, I'm going to go load my library. I'm going to get rid of all them Brother Bram books. I'm going to put porn videos up there. I'm going to throw away all that stuff, and I'm going to put balls on there, baseballs and footballs and the videos and all them things like that. You don't do that naturally. Why would you do that spiritually? He that hath an ear. Praise God. Am I starting to get hard already? Already? It's already that time. Come on. Finish up, brother. Come on, close this pony show. Let's go. It ain't a pony show. It's a camel show. Because what? Rebecca rode the camel train. And the camel train is the power of the Holy Ghost taking the church back to Christ. Holy Ghost is here. So now notice, very quickly here, your prophet brought it down to this in 1 Corinthians 2:6. Remember, who is your teacher? Yep, the fivefold is there. But that is not your teacher. Your teacher is the Holy Ghost. That's why you have to know you have the Holy Ghost, because when you have the Holy Ghost, it should help you discern what is right and what is wrong. Now, notice here, 1 Corinthians 2:6 says, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect. Can I speak wisdom here? If you're not perfect, I really don't want to. Yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Even the hidden wisdom. That means only the hidden bride can catch it. Which God ordained before the world unto our glory. What's the glory of the church? The mystery. The hidden wisdom of God. But we're talking. That is why this age is so close. It would deceive the elected if possible. Because literally, when you look at it, this is the age when the wisdom was revealed through a prophet. But it cannot leave knowledge for false vine. But it was given to be revelation to the bride. Now let's read this a little bit further here. So what was your glory? The hidden wisdom, the hidden word, the hidden manna, the word that was stored in the Shekinah, that dwelt with the presence of God. Okay, if I get a little sweaty, that's all right, isn't it? Now notice here he says, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they had known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. This goes every age. have known Jesus was the Christ. Remember, the scripture said Judas repented himself. He was killing God himself. He didn't know it. He had been given over to a strong delusion. Judas! But notice, Paul was under the same influence that Judas was. But the seed kept Paul, while the lack of seed cost Judas.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah! Because who was Paul killing? The pillar of fire knocked him off the horse and said, Paul, why are you kicking against the pricks? Why do you persecute me? He was sending Christians to jail, and the scripture says he was sending God to jail. Oh, election. You say, oh, thank God for Paul. What about you? When you even think a bad thought about your brother, what stands there? Grace stands there. Because the elected seed is there. Hallelujah! Don't you know the depths of grace? Precious brother just went home to be with the Lord. The man's been out in the world almost his whole life. I don't think Sister Carrie would mind. Her husband ain't been nothing but a dirty scoundrel his whole life. When we went to visit him weeks ago, still enjoying the same old stuff. With death knocking on the door. But grace. At some point in time, a denominational Christian come to the house. They said, Bill, I'm here to make sure you're saved. The man could hardly talk, and he said, you better worry about yourself. Why? Because he found grace. He was baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He had been through those things, if I understand right. He had went to a message church, but it did not matter that he was backslid his whole life. There is still grace for him. And she had a dream that God was taking him to heaven. And I sit here and I say, God, this has been one of the greatest paradoxes to my mind. I see a man that never hardly went to church, never hardly served God at all, at the very end of the road, at some point in time, cries out to God. Next thing you know, he's going up. What is it? What about you? You're here. You're trying. You're doing your best to love God. Not saying that that's so bad and that's so good, sitting here religious or sitting here backslid. But yet there still remains hope for you. If there's still a tug on your heart from God, there's still a power from God that can come and change you right now. Oh, hallelujah. What is freedom? When you found the God who eluded you
All that man had was a God that eluded him. Was that not predestinated? Why am I preaching on it tonight? It must come from God. And all you sit here and say, I'm so bad. And I fail this and I fail that. And all it takes is a little crying out to God. And God comes by. And lets grace strike the door. You say, God, I wish I could get there. I wish I could overcome this, that, in the world and all Nicolaitans and the denominations. They all da-da-da-da-da-da. You just need to get on your deathbed.
Amen.
That's what grace is. When you've been on your deathbed. But he ain't dying. You need to move into position that this is really a crucial time. And I need to die for Christ. I need this mind. There's people now crucifying the word afresh. The Bible says so. God, don't let me crucify it. I'm not ordained to crucify it, God. Just let me see him on my deathbed, God. That's the revelation we need. That's the revelation we have to come to. Hallelujah. You don't think God is good? God is great. But he's just saying, he that hath an ear. Can you hear? If your ears are waxed gross, if your ears are waxed to a place that nothing is penetrating them from the word, you need to let that out. You're not fighting against Brother Cam. You're not fighting against the evangelist. You're not fighting against one another. You're fighting against God. You know who I'm fighting against? I'm not fighting from anyone at this church. I'm not fighting anyone that's not from this church. I'm not fighting the people at work. You know who I'm fighting right now? Fighting myself. Because this flesh is a little bit stronger than what I give it credit for. I need this flesh to die. I need a God that I can listen to. I need a God that can talk to me and tell me what to do. Jesus. 1 Corinthians 2:10 says, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Where's the only place that revelation can come from? The Spirit. You see why it's not, Brother Cam, you need to preach something deeper. Brother Cam, you need to do this or do that. No, no. You need the Holy Ghost. Because it's the Holy Ghost who is the revealer.
Yes.
Now notice, for the Spirit searcheth all things. Where's that Spirit located? He's located in you.
Amen.
I love it because the commentators say, they said that word searches, it means diligently, accurately, precisely. God is able to give you that what you need. You say, God, I need this or I need that. No, no, no. If you've got the Holy Ghost, and if you don't have it, that's why God can't put you with the word that you think you need. Because you won't even accept what God's brought you. Wait a minute. For the brother Simon searches all things. For the brother Dave. For the sister Cindy, for Brother Jared, searcheth all things. You don't even know what you need. I don't know what I need. I am that dysfunctional with my own using that I can't even take care of myself. The Spirit searches all things. Notice, yea, the deep things of God. So when are you ready for a meat? When the Spirit's searching out the meat for you. So first you have to know that that Spirit is there. First you have to know where that craving's really coming from. We fool ourselves so many times. Oh, I need this, I need that. You need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You know what? If we had half a revelation, we'd pray way before we even studied. Because the comparison isn't there.
Right.
Now, I'm not saying that that's not nothing, because they go hand in hand. We understand that. But you need to meet God. We need a burning bush.
Amen.
We need a living God.
Yeah.
We've searched the things out. We've seen the Word. And here we are in the church ages still, trying to catch the revelation of the church ages. Because if we had that revelation, this place would be a different place. Oh, hallelujah. Notice the 11th verse. It says, for what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of a man which is in him? Yep, the spirit of a man in me, he knows what manly things are. I know what things of the world are because I have a spirit of a man on me. That's why I need a new spirit. Come on. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man. Whoa. No man knows the things of God? Well, I know the things of God. You don't know nothing if you ain't got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I ain't talking a half baptism. I'm talking a baptism that kept Paul as clean as Paul was. I ain't talking about your past. I'm talking about your present and your future. We need a God that performs. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Don't you understand why I said? Your prophet said, how can you teach Pentecostal babies spiritual things? Now, I don't need to go into all this, do I? Isn't this simple? This is so simple. But you know it's the Holy Ghost talking to you. Let me read you something. We're getting ready to close. I go all night. I ain't even touch this thing. Let me read you a quote. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemy. 62. Somebody said, Brother Branham, don't believe in saying glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, look at me up here now. I believe in shouting, speaking with tongues, dancing in the Spirit. But brother, when you fail to hear that still small voice of the Word. The still small voice of what? The still small voice of the Word. That's the thing that gets you. That's the thing. Wait a minute. Notice this. Elijah knowed all this revival was going on outside. But it never attracted him outside to it. But when he heard that still small voice of God, then he was attracted. And he veiled his face, come out. Why? Elijah was the seed of Abraham following the word. If ye abide in me and my words in you, then ask what you will, and it'll be done for you. The prophet was not interested in shouting, dancing, they're good. But notice, the prophet Elijah was interested not in revivals, but he was interested in the still, small voice of the word. You say, Brother Cam, we need a revival. I agree. But it's not shouting revival you need. Not a dancing revival you need. But the type of revival you need is the type of revival that reveals the still, small voice to you. First Kings 19:9 says, and he came thither unto the cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? What are you doing here? He says, and he said, I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts. For the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, slain thy prophets with a sword. And I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. When the still small voice come to him, what did it say? Why are you here? Why are you hiding up in a cave? You feel like you're the only one. You feel like we're a small number. You feel like the law's against you. You feel like what? Things are being clamped on you. You feel like Satan's got a grip on you. What doest thou here, Elijah? Notice. And he said, go forth, stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by. And a great and strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. Oh, hallelujah. The wind? Mm-mm. Everybody can feel the Holy Ghost, church. I'm not interested in the feeling. I want God. Notice. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord is not in an earthquake. After the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord is not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. He didn't respond. He didn't respond to the wind. Notice God already told him to go out. Now we see earthquake, fire, wind. And notice where we find the prophet. After the fire, a still small voice. And it was so when Elijah heard it. Be careful what you chase in this day. The signs of revival is not the definite. The still, small voice of the Word is the absolute. The Word will perform, but you have to stay with the Word. Because when he heard the voice, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts. They've forsaken your covenant. Do I need to read more of this? Let's stand. The very type of this day is the revelation of the voice to you. The voice of the Word must be revealed to you. I love this. He says in his eye, and brother, when you once sit still long enough and listen till you can hear that still small voice of Christ, it's different from any message you ever heard in your life. It brings peace. It brings satisfaction. It is something to you that stirs your innermost being. You're never the same. Man cannot meet God and talk with God and ever remain the same again. I need to talk to God. I cannot be satisfied with what I've had in my past. Just think of it. If I've entered into fellowship with God, why do I leave that fellowship when the fellowship was as good as it was? Praise God. I got plenty more. I ain't finished reading my scriptures. But the truth of it is, he that hath an ear, brother, why do you keep repeating this? You know what? I'm going to read you one more. I feel like I need to do this. You might have heard this before, Smyrna Church Age 157-1, chapter 4. It says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to each church age. In every age, it was the same cry. Hear what the Spirit says. If you are a Christian, you will get back to what the Spirit is teaching. That is the word of this age. Every messenger to every age will preach that word. Every fresh and true revival will be because men have gotten back to the word for their age. So I need a revival. Yeah. The cry of every age is the rebuke. You have left the word of God, repent and come back. From the first book in the Bible to the last book, Revelation, there's only one reason for God's displeasure, leaving the Word. There's only one remedy to regain His favor, back to the Word. The only way God can be displeased with you is if you leave the Word. And the only way you can make Him happy again is to go right back to that Word. Oh God, I want the voice of the Word, Lord. Finishing. In the Ephesian age and in this age and every age we contemplate, we will see this, that this is true. In the last age, which is our age, we will find the blackout of the word, the complete apostasy ending in the great tribulation. When's the apostasy? When is the great blackout of the word? When there's so much word given, this is the blackout. This is the apostasy. Why? Because people are hearing word, but they haven't caught the voice of the word in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Notice, if you are true seed, if you are truly baptized with the Holy Ghost, you will esteem His word above your necessary meat and yearn to live by every word. Oh God, I want to witness, God. Oh God, I don't want to sin, Lord. I don't want to hold back, God. I want to be an all-out Christian, Lord. Let me serve you. Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. I ask you, church. The Spirit asks you, are you ready? The Spirit asks you, who just talked to you? Who just spoke to you? A pastor, a man. But when you can see the voice of God that speaks to you. Why? Because it brings conviction. Why? Because it knocks at your doorstep. Why? Because it cries to for you to get back to the Word. God, I want to get back to the Word. What do I have to do? God, I want your Word to dominate me so much that I'd rather live by that word than eat. And when I don't want to live by that word, I better not eat.
Glory.
Oh, God. Backslid as we are, God. The message as backslid as it is. Why fool ourselves? Why say we've arrived? When the very spirit that's wooing you is telling you that you need to be higher. Am I the only one that the Holy Ghost pricks and says, Cam, you're not where you need to be. You've got to come higher. I have not been able to get away from that conviction. From the day I believe I've got the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is still fighting me, trying to get me to let this flesh die. And look at how long suffering is. Oh, Lord Jesus. Amen. Let's bow our heads. You might be able to say what you want to say about what this is, but I believe it's the inerrant Word of God. The inerrant Word of God is calling you to revival. But a revival is getting the trash out of your life. A revival is letting go of the things that you hold on to. A revival is saying, God, I really want a relationship with you, God, and I'm going to do what it takes to have that. A revival is, God, Lord, I will manifest your word. God, I will do what that Spirit says in my mind, God. But I've got to have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, God. In such a special way, Lord, that I know you're leading me. Try every spirit, God. That's what your word says, Lord. Help us. This is your need tonight. You'd be able to say, God, I know this church ain't where it needs to be. I know the bride ain't where it needs to be.
Pray. think about.